Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is your host, Dr. Sherry Jones of We Would See Jesus. I welcome everyone tonight to our program where we are going to discuss memorizing the scripture, continuing in the book, Are You a Christian or a Disciple? Rediscovering and Renewing New Testament Discipleship, written by Dr. Edward N. Gross, who about 2 weeks ago, or maybe 3 weeks ago, we had on the radio show and interviewed him about why he wrote this book. And you can go back in the archives if you want to and listen to that interview and any of the shows since then. But we're following his book, and we're looking at the five areas of which marked a first century disciple. I don't know if you know anything about a first century disciple, but if it was good enough for the disciples at the time of following Jesus, we believe it's good enough for us today to follow the same pattern. Any disciple at the time of the New Testament or even in the Old Testament with the schools of prophets understood that they were to memorize their teacher's words. They were to learn their teacher's traditions and interpretations. They were to submit completely to the will of the teacher. They were to imitate their teacher's actions. And the last one, number five, they were to raise up disciples. That was what they knew and understood, the disciples who followed Jesus, understood what it meant to follow him as Rabboni, as Rabbi, as teacher, as master teacher. And in following him, they would learn how to make disciples. And not only make disciples, they would learn how to be in relationship with the Father and with each other. We're so happy to have parents on the phone with us tonight. Parents, yeah, I welcome
afternoon.
You.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How you doing?
I'm blessed. Holding
blessed,
on.
You're blessed. I'm blessed too. I just started a review of what we did last week and talking about the marks of a first century disciple, memorizing their teacher's words, to learn their teacher's traditions and interpretations, to submit completely to the will of the teacher, to imitate their teacher's actions, and to raise up disciples. That was what they understood in the first century, and what we need to recapture and rediscover here in this 21st century. Amen?
Amen.
And we also, last week, covered chapter 12 of the book. Chapter 11 of the book, where we looked at submitting ourselves totally to Jesus Christ, totally to his teachings. And in that submission, that total submission, we're talking about total submission in four areas: in the area of our intellect, emotions, speech, and action. In other words, in the way we think, our thoughts, our emotions, how we feel, in our speech, how we speak, and in our actions, how we behave. Is it so that in our intellect and what we think and say and in our emotions and our actions that people can tell we are followers of Jesus Christ? It means is our lives evidence that Jesus Christ lives and is here today to save and deliver and to heal. Is that true in your life? I don't know unless you tell me, but if that's true in your life, then you are a disciple of Jesus Christ and you are following him in those areas and you submitted your will, your way, and your words to him. That's what we're talking about. That's what we talked about last week. This week we're on chapter 12 where the title of the chapter is Following Jesus by a Memorized Mastery of His Word. And it asks a really important question in the book. How many of you have memorized scripture? How many of you have mastered the words of Jesus Christ? There are several scriptures that Dr. Gross gives, and I'm just going to read a couple of them, Terrence. found on page 212 of the book. I'm giving the pages and the chapters because last week, after the broadcast last week, some people asked about what was the book we were reading from, and they purchased the book. One person showed me on Facebook, I just got my book today, and that was on yesterday. Are you a Christian or a disciple? And I told them that would be great. That's going to be a great read for them. It's going to be a challenge to the way we believe what making disciples was all about, or being a disciple was all about. Because I, for the first time in reading this book, learned what a first century disciple was and what we as 21st century disciples should be. And in memorizing scripture, I know that's a part of groups like Navigators and Inner Varsity, mostly groups that minister in local colleges around, or not local colleges, but in colleges and universities around the world, but also who minister in other ways in the urban communities. Memorizing scripture is a part of their teaching and creating of disciples. And sometimes we leave it up to these groups that we call parachurch groups that are maybe outside of your local fellowship but are working and presenting the gospel on a daily basis and making disciples. That's mainly what they're doing. They're making disciples. And in that making disciples, memorizing of scripture is a part of that. How can we hide the word in our heart and not sin against him if we don't memorize it? If it's not in our heart, it's not in our minds, it's not in our thoughts, well, we're more likely to sin in areas that we didn't expect to because we didn't know the word at the time, we didn't memorize the word at the time that dealt with the issues that we may be dealing with. It may be temptation, it may be a lack of forgiveness, it may be areas of lack of love or coldness, whatever it is. Do we have the mind of Christ? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, find in Philippians 2:5. And do we really not just quote the word, but is the word a part of our lives? And so much, Jesus said, the words I speak are spirit and they are light. And if he speaks those words and those words we memorize, they become spirit and life on the inside of us. And as it is on the inside of us, it is something that we can pull from. We have a reservoir, a layaway plan that we can pull from when necessary, when things may come up and we need the word to remind us how we are to think, how we are to feel, how we are to speak, and how we are to act. I'm going to ask Terrence, I'm going to put him on the spot for a moment. Terrence, is memorizing scripture a part of what you do?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's actually one of the first undertakings that I've had, and it you know, beforehand you think it's a daunting task. You think it's, oh no, I can't memorize that much scripture. But be asking, you know, the Spirit to help you in that and to help your mind and all the scripture reading and memorizing. Yeah. It definitely helps. There's a thing we like to say.
How has it been helping you to memorize scripture? Now, just give me a couple situations where scripture memory came in handy for you.
Well, you know, especially in relationships, daily relationships, especially at work.
At work.
Being recalled, you were calling the teachings of Jesus in a lot of situations to be the servant of another, though they may not, in our minds, deserve it, but that was the call of Christ. Memorizing that scripture of washing your
being
feet,
servant to all.
Being the servant first. Yeah,
that
always comes to mind, especially when I'm at work.
Especially when you're at work. That really helps, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think that at work is an important place because of our interactions with different people and different mindsets and different spirits, really.
Mm-hmm.
Different personalities people have different ways of doing things, and they doing certain things, and it may not be what we're used to. And some things become irritations to us, and we have to remind ourselves, as you said, that we are asked to be servant. We're asked in Scripture to love, to forgive, to bless, to have mercy on. And when we don't remember those scriptures, we begin to do our own thing and act on our way and our will. So you have another situation where scripture memory comes in handy for you?
In prayer, when I'm in prayer and I'm preparing the day, I daily ask God to show me the harvest, his harvest field, and I'll go back to the scripture of Jesus saying, I'm paraphrasing here, but the harvest is plenty and the workers are few. But it's specifically in one of the other verses, it says, pray that there be laborers for the harvest. And I daily pray that God adds laborers to his harvest, to harvest. And he said, and what comes to me quite often, Dave, is if you are not gathering, you are scattering. And that's just one of the things that a sober reminder of my purpose in anything I'm doing.
Yes.
So memorizing scripture and those. Yeah, that's right.
Yes. Well, I wanted to read a couple of the scriptures that remind us. Just as Ed says, a handful of texts showing Jesus teaching on mastering his word. We remember in the temptation when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness that every response he made to the enemy, to Satan, was from the word of God. Whenever Satan challenged him, he didn't get in a discussion with Satan. He didn't get in a debate with Satan. He gave Satan the word. And even when Satan tried to twist the word and use it against him, he still came back to him with the word. And you will find that every word he gave the enemy, he gave from the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. And he quoted that in his challenge to the enemy's statements to him or questions to him. When he was trying to question his relationship with the Father or question his sonship every time. And then the ultimate question he got to or a situation of temptation he got to was to ask for the Son of God to worship him, to bow down and worship him. And then at that point, Jesus just said, get away. Go away. it wasn't even going to be another discussion or any more to say to him at that time. But there's a scripture also that is given in Matthew 24:35, where it says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Well, then Jesus said to them in Mark 4:24, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. That makes so much sense to me in the memorizing of scripture, that we pay attention to what we hear and with the measure you use. In other words, how I memorize, when I memorize, and how I use it in my life, it will be measured to us, and still more will be added to us, more grace, more power, more healing, more freedom will be added to us as we use what we memorize. Then in Luke 9:44, let these words sink into your ears. The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men. That translation is found in the English Standard Version. And then he says to the Jews in John 8:31, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you truly are my disciples. Listen to that. If you abide in my word, if you remain or stay, inhabit my word, he's saying, his word, you are truly my disciples. So how do we know that we are his disciples? Is that not only are we memorizing the word, and we memorize it so we can deal with our thinking and our ways and our will and our speech and our actions. If you abide, that means if you remain in the Word, you are truly my disciples. Or in 15:7 of John, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, sounds like the John 8:31 in a way. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, now here's a promise. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. 15:20 says, remember the words I spoke to you. So Jesus here clearly tells us of the importance of the Word and knowing the Word. And how we know the Word is to memorize the Word. I know some people say, hey, I don't know the address, but I know what the Word says. The address will come. In other words, where it's found will come. But if you have that Word in you, you're able to repeat it back to yourself. And in chapter 12, and following Jesus by a memorized mastery of the Word, Ed gives some other passages of Scripture, and no one should be getting bored about this because the whole show is about mastery of the Word. Let's go to the Word again. Colossians 3:16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Wow. That is really clear there. 2 Timothy 1:13. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. In other words, as Paul says, at one time Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ, or be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Peter wrote, for to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. In his steps. If Jesus memorized the Word, if Jesus used the Word with dealing with temptation and things that came up towards him, and we're following this Jesus, we're following Jesus Christ, then it, as the old folks would say, it behooves us to do the same. And the best way to do this is memorize. Now, a word comes up in the chapter. Did you see in this chapter the section on biblical meditation?
Yes.
That was a new way of looking at meditation for me. Did you see that, Terrence?
Yes. Wow.
Yeah. What did you think of that on meditation? Let me put it another way. When you heard the word meditation, what was the first thing when you saw it in this chapter? What was the first thing you thought about?
The first thing meditation comes to use the culture's assumption of meditation of the mindless humming and peaceful zen-like things, and
uh-huh,
those are the first things that
so
come
new,
to your
new
mind
age stuff.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's right, that's
the
right.
Mantras and repeating phrases, mm-hmm, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so That's what most people, you say meditation, most people think of that. Oh, you're talking about that New Age stuff.
Mm-hmm.
No, we're not. Joshua was told to meditate on the Word day and night. The Israelites were told to meditate on God's Word day and night. They were also told in Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter, to as they are going in and out, that they are to remind their children of what God did for them. That's in the Word, what God did for them, the actions that God carried out, the way that God dealt with them. That, in other words, you're to be walking and talking to your children about the Word of God. Ed asked a really important question in this chapter. He says, how can you force your children to go to Sunday school and memorize Scripture and watch them have a Bible? You know, some churches have a Bible I don't want to call it a contest. It's called something else, but where children memorize Scripture, and someone, the moderator calls out the Scripture, and then the students have to repeat the Scripture totally, correct in order to win for their team. It's Bible drills. That's what it is, a Bible drill or a contest. And we expect the children to do it, but Ed said, but do we as adults do it? Do we get to a certain place and we decide, oh, you know, that's for the kids. That's not for me. I don't need to do that. I know the word pretty good. That's a challenge. But getting back to biblical meditation, this was really important to me. And I'm going to say why later when we get to the section on how to meditate. How to meditate. And not only how to meditate, but how to memorize in the next bit. And again, here is what meditate means. Meditate means to emit a sound, to murmur, mutter, speak in an undertone. For the Hebrews, meditation was not like a Quaker meeting, sitting in silence. Such passages give graphic insight into what meditation involves. Meditation is the outward verbalizing of one's thoughts before God, of the poring over his teachings and works. It means to articulate in a low tone thoughts of worship, wonder, and praise. Now, let's give an example of that. Give an example. A lot of people like to go through the Psalms and memorize verses from the Psalms. And one of the Psalms that I of course appreciate any in the 30s, but particularly Psalm 27. And so you're looking at Psalm 27, the first verse. You have it, Terrence?
Pulling it up.
Huh?
I'm pulling it up now.
Yeah, Psalm 27, verse 1. Now, I'm reading from the NIV. Yes, NIV. And it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now, how would you murmur, or how would you verbalize, outward verbalizing of your thoughts before God? This is what meditation means. Bob, I really thank you that you're my light. Not only are you my light, God, in this word it says you're my salvation. You saved me. And because of that, whom shall I fear? In other words, it's giving praise to God, but it also ends up being a prayer. The word also says the Lord is the stronghold of my life. That means to me, God, that I am surrounded. There's a fortress. You are a fortress for me. You, as it says in the word in other places, you are my buckler, you're my sword, you're my shield, and you have a stronghold. You are a stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? This passage is talking about if God, in a sense, if God is for you, who can be against you? It's talking about in reference to greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. That there's no reason to fear, there's no reason to be afraid, because the Lord is my light. There is no darkness that can come over us, that the Lord is not our light. He is my salvation. He is my Savior. He saves me. He delivers me. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. He's not just a stronghold around. He is the stronghold. In other words, the focus is on God. God is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And so when I begin reading Scripture and verbalizing it like that, I am also beginning a method of not only meditation, but the method of memorizing. Does that make sense to you, Terrence?
Yeah, that's much sense. You know, praying the words out loud and understanding it out loud and bringing that into worship comes to taking the whole of you. Yeah.
And that gave me such a new, I would say, respect for meditation and what it means. And Ed actually talks about it in the next paragraph. He says, biblical meditation focuses on God as he is revealed in his word. He said, Hebrew boys would have spent long hours memorizing the scriptures of the Old Testament by biblical meditation. Such texts would have been taught or brought to mind during temptation, just as they were with Jesus when he quoted three verses from Deuteronomy. We need to slow down and repeat the truth that sets us free within our minds. But we can't meditate on what we don't remember. And we don't remember for long what we have not memorized. That is where we are now on page 218. If anybody's following us in using the book, we're on 218, where Ed begins that section with, even you can memorize. Now, he gives three simple things, but it's a fourth one that got me when I put this into practice. Yes, I put it into practice. I've studied over and over again about meditation, meditating on his word and praying his word and also in memorizing his word. But there was this one point I'm saying to you right now, I'm confessing right now, it's the first time I saw this fourth point. And we're going to get to it because it works. Now, it may not work for everybody. I'm not saying it works for everybody. But this one works for me. And I'm going to give you a scripture at the end of this. We have 3 minutes and 18 seconds left in the program. And I'm going to tell you that the first three that Ed reads, that Ed writes is, one, read. Two, recite. Three, review. Read the verse out loud slowly 5 times. You hear that? Read the verse out loud slowly 5 times. Recite the verse in its logical parts 5 times. And then three, review the verse 5 times during the day. So it's 5, 5, 5. Now, that's important to keep that in mind. Read loudly 5 times, out loud 5 times. Recite in logical parts, and we're going to talk about what that is. And then review. Now, is this what you use, Terrence?
Yes.
Do you use this format?
Actually, yeah. Early on, I used a different format. I tried to remember full chapters first. This.
Oh, wow. It is a great start.
Yeah.
And how long did it take you sometimes to memorize a verse? Say, maybe a verse or two.
Really? two to three minutes tops, you know.
Really?
Yeah, 2 to 3 minutes tops. You know, if you're going through a particular, maybe a 7 to 10 word verse, you know.
Well, we have 90 seconds, and I'm going to be real quick because here's the fourth one that he didn't put in the list, but he talks about. He talks about the fact that students from one professor, that he asked them to sing what they memorized. This is the way Hebrew children have memorized for thousands of years.
Yeah.
Sing them. The Psalms are songs. We've got 60 seconds, but the Psalms are songs. Most of them, a majority of them are songs. And we're going to end right there at that time. But your passage to memorize for the week is Luke 14:33. Do so and enjoy. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for blessing your people. I thank you for us learning how to memorize, how to meditate. And we thank you for using it for your glory in our lives so that people will see that we are your disciples. This we pray in Jesus' name, believing. This is Dr. Sherry Jones, and we would see Jesus, and we'll see you next week when we further go on in the book, and we will be in chapter 13 at that time, and we look forward to seeing you on We Would See Jesus. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.